things that happened in your lives. But I thought before we do that, maybe share briefly some of the highlights and special times in your life. And some of these are in the book, you know.
In January 96, we got a phone call from England, and I could hear Eddie talking on the phone, and he's saying, "Yes, I know, Scylla. Yes, yes." And he was talking for a while, and then he got off the phone and he said to me, "Who's Scylla Black?" And I'm saying, "You just told whoever you were talking to that you knew Scylla." He says, "Well, I've never heard of her," even though he's from England. And they wanted us to go to England for a reunion with his mum. And he had a sister over there that was born after he come out, so he'd never met her. And it was just amazing because there was no way we could afford to do that. So we went over and spent 2 months in England and stayed with different members of the family. And she was great. We spent so much time with her. She was really good, yeah.
Some other highlights?
Well, my children are my highlights. And my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Children and grandchildren are a joy.
And you had 2 grandchildren then?
Yeah. In October 96, Jordan was born, and we heard about that when we were in England, that Andrea was expecting. In May the next year, Jared and Misty have a daughter, Brodie. So there was just 7 months between Jordan and Brodie. And then later on, in 2001, Angel was born, and then Will was born in 2006. You probably didn't want to know all those dates.
No, that's great. For me, grandkids are a highlight. I love my grandkids. Lots of us have grandkids and great-grandchildren, and they change my day. I have a sore leg at the moment because I've got a hamstring injury playing soccer with my grandson. Just wouldn't have happened if I didn't have grandchildren. Tell us about the farm.
We'd lived in up in the valley in the Yarra Junction area for probably nearly 20 years. The lady that owned the poultry farm where we were managing always said when we left there, she said, "If you ever think about going back into poultry, let me know." And I said to Eddie, "There's no way I want to do this again. I'm sick of chooks." But he'd always wanted to do free-range poultry. So further down the track, he said, "I'm going to ring this lady and tell her what I want to do." And I said, "But we've got no money." And he said, "Well, just, you know, let me see what she says." So she said that she would, buy a farm, and we had the idea of Jared living on the farm too, him and Misty, and he would be managing it with Eddie. Yeah, yeah. I'm off the track, aren't I? In 2001. There was a little farm in Robertson's Beach, which is down near Port Albert, and it was $89,000 for 6 acres and a 3-bedroom house. But even when you have got no money, that's a lot of money. Yeah, so this lady bought it for us, and we were down there for 12 years. I was just way out of my comfort zone, even though I was excited about moving there. We didn't know anybody. It was a new area. And then Eddie wanted me to go down to all the different businesses in Yarram, because it was near Yarram, and try to sell eggs. And I said, "I don't know how to do that." And he says, "Well, I'm not going to do it," which wasn't very fair. So everyone was so lovely. All the in the businesses, you know. We all ended up being friends and, yeah, so I had no problem selling eggs down there. And we were selling to two supermarkets, and then one supermarket, I don't know if it closed or I'm not sure what happened, but I thought, well, we're going to be stuck with more eggs here. And then about a week later, a winery rang us and wanted exactly the same amount of eggs that the supermarket were taking. Mm. So we were never had trouble getting rid of the eggs.
No.
Yeah.
Good stories. You have to read about the farm in the book. Lots of good stories about like that. God just providing. And, I like hearing about the egg farm.
Yeah, I know.
Free-range eggs. We'll go move on then because in November 1997, tragedy strikes the family. Are you able to tell us what happens there, Shirley?
Yep. Not easily. In November 97, my son was with some friends and swimming in the river, and they'd all had a bit to drink, and they went back to a house, and one of his friends' houses, and this guy kept ordering Jared to go and get marijuana because he was the only one there with the car. And Jared kept refusing, and I think at one stage he tried to choke him. And, sorry, I'm shaking. Then one of his friends took him, the guy that lived next door was a friend of Jared's too, to this other guy. And he went back and he said, look, maybe you should go home, you don't have to put up with that. And Jared says, I've never had an argument with him before. I'm not going to go home and leave it like this. So he said, I'm going to go back and have a chat to him. So he walked back into the house and the guy said, have you changed your mind? Are you going to get it now? And he said, no, that's not what I'm here for. And then the guy put... sorry. He got a gun out of the ceiling and shot Jared. Yeah.
And that killed him.
Instantly,
That killed him, yeah. Mm. Hard times, and you describe it quite, emotionally in the book, and it's a hard thing, I'm sure, even though it's a long time ago, to talk about. And I've got a question here, and we agreed it would be good to talk about. Yeah. What difference did Jesus make for you at that time?
Well, when I first heard this, when the police came and told me, I just couldn't understand it at all. A lot of people, when they hear about someone's gone, they think, no, it can't be true, there's got to be a mistake. Well, instantly I knew it was true, and then I'd never see Jared again. but there was people... Like, there was God Squad in overseas. There were all... We had friends in the valley that... Everybody was praying for us. We had no end of people in the house. Probably too much sometimes. And Eddie, the first thing he said in the first week was, there's got to be something good come out of this. And... Well, I wasn't really happy when he said that because I thought, how could anything good come out of... Yeah. But the youth in the area, we got so many feedback from them and how Jared had stood his ground and hadn't given in. And,
so. A lot of people came to the funeral.
There was, I don't know how many, close to 1,000, I think. I don't know. I've got no idea. Yeah, that was a Pilotti College in Millgrove.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Sorry. I know it isn't easy. Thank you for sharing that. And it's good that people were there for you,
There was.
Church and God Squad and people like that. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. the next 17 years you're involved in the life of your grandchildren, and not only Jordan and Brody, but Angel and Will, a sister and brother to Jordan, and also Chloe and Kayla and Tyler, half-sisters to Brody and Seth, who's half-brother to Brody. That's a big mouthful, a lot of family. Yep. And you built a lifetime of wonderful memories with them down on that farm, on the egg farm.
Yeah.
In 2010, Eddie's son, your stepson, passed away at the age of 53 from a brain tumour. And it was a difficult year because it's the same year that Jared's murderer was released from jail.
Yeah.
So that kind of would have been a hard time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had a fear of meeting him. Like, I thought, if I go down the road or into a shop, what if I see him? I had a really fear. And even walking in a supermarket, I always thought someone was going to come out with a gun. Or I had that fear of guns and...
And a few years later, 2013, further changes occur. You sell the property that you've spent so much time on in Gippsland and move back to the Yarra Valley. And now Eddie's health, your husband, Eddie's health deteriorates with, as yet undiagnosed, throat cancer. And sadly, you didn't know how much time you had left with your precious granddaughter, Jordan, who tragically lost her life in a car accident 3 weeks before her 17th birthday. Tell us how you got through that situation, Cheryl.
I had a look. When Jordan was born, I used to babysit her. Jordan and Brody, when they were younger, and then later on when we moved to the farm, Angel and Will used to come down. I just thought, this can't be happening again. We can't go through another loss like this. Prayer was the answer. But still, you don't have all the answers why these things happen.
No.
All you can do is pray and press into Jesus. And both of the deaths really hurt. Yeah. Really hard.
Yeah. Mm. I think because they were both young people.
Oh, yeah.
Makes it difficult.
Well, that month Jordan would have turned 17, so yeah. Jared was 19.
Yeah. I saw a photo of her in the book.
Yeah.
A lovely young lady, and it's hard to look at that. I had thought of putting photos up, but I thought, no, that's not going to be. Buy the book. You'll see some great photos in the book. 2014, Eddie, your husband, passed away from cancer, and now the sinking sands are really sucking pulling you down. You must have been very difficult for you going through all that now without your husband.
Mm.
How did you get through, work through those times?
Well, it was really hard because I was left to give morphine to Eddie, and I just felt so much guilt. Because at one stage he said, I don't want it. And the lady was on the phone from palliative care and said, don't worry about what he's saying, just give it to him anyway. And so I'm tossing between, what do I do? So after he went, there was a lot of guilt. But also, Eddie was a lot older than me. He was 26 years older than me. So he was 84 when he passed away. So I suppose an older person dying doesn't affect you like a young person dying. But it didn't mean that I didn't care or love him. But I had all these mixed emotions, like it was like the three of the deaths come to the surface, and I felt like I wasn't crying for Eddie enough, and I was crying for Jared and Jordan, and but I had a lot of people around me then too, so it was good.
Yeah. Church family makes a big difference, and family around you, your own family. Yeah. 2017, I feel awful reading all these out. You know. Your sister Joy passed away, and I love reading about you two going, and another sister going on a cruise, and you know, you had fun with her.
She
passed away in 2017.
Yeah, I went on a cruise with both my sisters, and it was a great time in late 2016. And then Joy passed away from a stroke in 2017.
I want to come back to Eddie. When I read about him, he's quite a character, what I could see of him. He was able to forgive the man who shot your son. It seemed quite easily or quickly. Now, if it was easy, but it was quickly, which it didn't sit well with you. How did you eventually forgive the man who shot your son? Tell us about your journey there.
Yeah, I was really, really angry at Eddie for doing... You think, well, when someone forgives somebody, they're condoning what... I don't know if that's the right thing to say. But that's how I felt. I thought, I'm not going to forgive him. That's sort of giving him a leave pass. I went on a camp, like a women's weekend every year with the God Squad ladies. And in 2019, we were staying up at Casa Pilotti, which is on the grounds of Pilotti College. And, I was sharing... Oh, they asked me to share the story about Jared, and God Squad had painted up a sand dragger. Do you know what a sand dragger is?
Well, I do, but don't
know. Oh, well, I don't either. It's a huge bike with a big motor, that's all I know. And they painted Rest in Peace Jared Pye on it, and we displayed it at the Easter Festival that we had in Yarra Junction that year. So they wanted me to talk about that at the women's weekend. And then I mentioned to a couple of ladies afterwards, I said, you know, I've got no intent. Oh, I don't know what I said, but I think I said, sometimes having communion, I know that I've got it. God walks me through this. I know he understands how I was feeling. And you can't sort of force forgiveness. And then I said consciously there's always that thing in the back of my mind, I still haven't forgiven this guy. But I believe God knew how I felt. And then I was talking to a lady that came in the room, and she was saying, oh, she had a long talk with me, and then I thought, yeah, it's time. So I have forgiven him, but what he did was horrible. He took somebody very special from me. I wouldn't want to meet him, but when I made that decision, I just felt so different, lighter, wasn't burdened. I mean, because I really hated him. But that eats you up.
And it was like 21 years after it happened. Yeah. I remember when I first spoke to you on the phone, you said it took me 25 years to forgive him. And I thought, wow, that it does take a long time to deal with things. Sometimes we think it'll happen quickly, I can forgive. And sometimes it takes a long time. It's in layers, I think, you know, little by little. I thought that would be an encouragement to us because we all go through difficult things. The church has been through difficult things.
Yeah.
Personally, we go through hard stuff. Mm. And, you know, somewhere along the line you have to deal with forgiveness, but there is a time for it.
Well... God brings you to that point.
Yeah.
You can't... people will say to you, you know, you've got to forgive. Well, you can't do things because people ask you to do it.
No, you can't force it. You have to let God do it. Yeah. Thank you. I guess in the end, I want to ask, in summary, what would you like, because you wrote the book because you really wanted people to learn from your experiences. How would you summarise what you'd like us to take away from this time?
I've probably explained it all. Well, we all hurt. No one is, I don't know what the word is. We're no different. We're all human. And we all get angry. There's nothing wrong with being angry. That's how you deal with it, I guess. And we don't know why things happen in this world. I just... some things that happen in this world are terrible. But you've just... The only comfort you're going to get is from Jesus.
Good way to summarise
it. What's happened to me.
Did you want to read some of your epilogue? And I'd looked at the epilogue at the back of the book and I thought it was a nice...
Do you want me to read all?
Yeah, it's up to you, but yeah, we've got time. Yep. This doesn't mean you don't have to buy the book, it just means you're getting a little bit from the back of the book. But I can encourage you, if you want to read the whole story, there's a lot of interesting parts that we haven't had time to talk about today.
It is so hard when you lose a child or a grandchild or any member of the family. Sometimes when I first meet people, they ask out of interest, how many children or grandchildren do you have? I think I was asked this question 2 weeks after I lost my son and I couldn't speak. I didn't know how to answer that. But I know that Jared will always be my son. And nothing can change that. And Jordan will always be my granddaughter. And nothing's going to change that. So yes, I have 2 children and 4 grandchildren. And then I explain that my son and my granddaughter live on in heaven with Jesus. Because I know that's true. I will always be Jared's mother and Jordan's grandmother. And I will always be Eddie Pye's wife. How blessed I am. And I know that by believing in Jesus and knowing he keeps his promises, I will see my loved ones again. I'm not saying I don't struggle, because I do. And sometimes I take my eyes off Jesus, and that's when I lose confidence. I know I can't do the things in my own strength. I can only be bold in Jesus' strength. I urge anyone that is reading this that if you are struggling with something, to make sure you talk to someone about it. No matter what it is. You might not be sure if God is real, and you might not want to take the step to trust him and let him take control of your life. That is the choice that God gives you. He doesn't force you to do anything, but he wants a better life for you, and he can give you that. Some people think that going to church is boring and you can't have any fun anymore, like I thought. I know Jesus is the answer. Well, I don't look at church as the answer, because through my experience, I know Jesus is the answer. He has brought me so much joy, and now I know what it is generally like to be happy. God doesn't want you to suffer. He wants you to come to him, and he will shelter you under his wing, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. My husband always said that he didn't like the word religion or religious, but because there are so many things that can come under that banner. I don't know if his thoughts have rubbed off onto me, but I agree with him. I don't know if you've all seen the movie The Shack, but in The Shack, Mackenzie says to Jesus, because he has a dream that he meets Jesus, but that's another story. He said, "You don't seem that religious to me." Because Jesus was so easy to get along with and he was having fun with him. And he was easy to understand. And then Jesus said to him, "Well, religion's too hard, it only makes things difficult." So I believe we just have to get to know Jesus and let him lead us. When I fill in a form that asks the question, "What religion are you?" I simply answer Christian because I believe that churches aren't meant to be divided. We are all one in with Christ, and no one is better than the other. I am thankful to God for the comfort he has given me, and sometimes others have said something that has brought me comfort just at the right time, and I believe God has put those words in their mouths. I pray that one day I will say the right thing to someone that will make a difference to them and help them in some way. I can only make myself available as a willing vessel for Jesus to use me, and I pray for his Holy Spirit to lead me where he wants me to be. I'm available anytime. If anyone has any questions about what I've written, please don't hesitate to talk to me. I pray blessings on all the people that read this book, and may you find the peace and the comfort that you were looking for, and may you find the perfect peace that comes from Jesus, our rock.
Amen. Thank you. And we do, we'll have copies of the book, and I know Shirley's going to stay around to talk to people. We won't rush off to a meeting. I just have this feeling you've opened yourself up like that, and that's quite raw. And I just feel a few of us should come and pray for you. I'm wondering whether I can get Dawn and Graham to come up, and maybe I'm seeing Kay. It's a couple of the elders come up and just have a just pray for you, Shirley. You've shared your life with us, and we're part of your family too. Yeah. Not because we're Baptists, but because we're Christians. So I'm wanting for a few people would just pray.
Do you want me to stand?
Yeah, no, stay there. Yeah. That's all right.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for Shirley. We thank you that she is your child and that you have her in the palm of your hands. Father, we thank you for her willingness to come and share with us today. We ask that you will bless her as she has blessed us. Father, we thank you for the example that she is in her family and to us. We thank you for the work that you have done in her life, and we praise you that you are going to continue to lead her and guide her into the future. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father God, for Shirley's life, the things that she experienced will gain so much comfort and strength in her life, and use her, O God, to glorify your name for the experience that you has her occurred in her life. And I thank you for her life, and Lord, that use her as an instrument for the name of your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I've just thought of the verse that I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Amen.
And thank you that you are the great healer. And that when things happen, when life happens, you are the one that does the healing. You are the one that reminds us to stay close to you. So help us all to just remember those things, that you are the rock. You are the one that we can hide in and know the strength that we can have for each day. Just bless us all as you have blessed us through Shirley today. Just empower her too, we pray. And may she know your blessing and your strength from sharing her story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We're going to close with a really appropriate hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I hope I got that right. That's the right song. Yep.
Let us stand and sing this wonderful hymn. It's called The Solid Rock. We can stand, we can hang on to, we can cling on to the rock and know that he is our strength. My hope is built on nothing less. Thank you.